Windy.
Yeah, from the association. Why. Yeah,
that's always been one of those fall songs to me too. Like, I hear you, man. Something about those songs. There's something about those.
Yeah,
we will take a break. We're coming back with the kitchens open to kick off our 9 o'clock hour, and after that, we are going to have Ashley Hagnow, Allison Dairyland's own, joining us right here on. Well, you know, since you're already here, Seth, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay, let me get ready.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Things are looking up in Hollywood. Striking writers and studios have reached a tentative agreement that could end the months-long strikes that have paralyzed the industry. Elaine Lowe is a staff writer at The Ankler.
If writers' rooms get back by October, then production is feasible by January. Of course, this is entirely dependent on whether the SAG-AFTRA strike gets resolved.
And whether the tentative deal is approved by members of the writers' union. If it is, talk shows are expected to be the first to come back. Republicans on Capitol Hill are having a tough time agreeing on funding to keep the government up and running. Correspondent Nancy Cordes is in Washington.
A band of far-right Republicans argued this weekend that a government shutdown might be the only way to force Congress to spend less.
This dysfunctional Washington cannot continue.
Congress now has just 5 days to either pass 12 annual bills to fund the government or pass a short-term fix.
New Jersey's Democratic Senator Bob Menendez will weigh in soon on new criminal charges, accusing him and his wife of conspiracy to commit bribery, fraud, and extortion. CBS's Scott McFarland from Capitol Hill.
Senator Menendez has temporarily stepped down as chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, but has given no indication he'll step down from his Senate seat. In fact, he continues to deny the allegations and will face cameras this morning amid calls for him to go.
New attack in Ukraine. They're cleaning up near Odessa, where Ukrainian officials say a Russian drone and missile strike damaged a grain silo, oil terminals, and other infrastructure critical for storage and shipping. Attacks in other parts of the country have killed 5 civilians and wounded 13 in the past day. Jews around the world are marking one of the holiest days of the year, Yom Kippur. Reporter Yotam Confino is in Tel Aviv.
It's a day of fun for children in Israel. All traffic comes to a halt for 25 hours, leaving highways empty for children to ride their bikes and skateboards. 14-year-old Tal Lassar says it's one of his favorite times of the year.
There are people on the streets walking around. You see everyone riding their bikes. It's a big social event, and I just love it.
Many adults fast, pray, and go to synagogue to atone for their sins.
They're dealing with a new public health problem in parts of California. Powerful winter storm, summer heat, and tropical storm Hillary are blamed for a surge of invasive day-biting Aedes mosquitoes. They've spawned the first reported human cases of West Nile virus in years. S&P futures down 10. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
At Staples, you can count on every project being print perfect, guaranteed.
I need invitations and posters printed, and they have to be perfect.
I need beautifully bound booklets and presentations for my business.
Your invitations and booklets will be in captivating color and will be done right every time. That's Staples' Print Big Promise. And right now at Staples, get $50 off your print purchase of $150 or more. Try Staples and see the difference. Ends 10/14. Exclusions apply. See associate or visit staples.com/print for details.
Dive into true crime on Pluto TV. Unravel the mysteries on Forensic Files and Dateline 24/7. Plus, watch thousands of other crime movies and TV shows, all for free. Download Pluto TV on all your favorite devices and start streaming now.
Exergen thermometers are a top choice of medical professionals at highly ranked hospitals across the U.S. Accuracy matters, so make Exergen the chosen thermometer for your home and family. Available at Walgreens and other participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with scattered thunderstorms likely. High temperatures reach up to 68. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies, tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely, lows level off around 56. Cloudy, tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely, daytime highs approaching 67. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 62.
Just can't get enough.
Can't get enough of it.
Can't get enough.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. You got your host, James, along with Seth and Melissa. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Had to get it in one more time. It's in our head.
It's a great song. It's great.
Already in our head.
Yeah.
Got great stuff coming up for you this hour. We'll get into a little entertainment news. Ashley Hagnow, Allison Dairyland's Owen is going to be joining us. Looking so forward to that as well. But it's 9 o'clock and then on a Monday. You know what that means, everybody. It is time to get into the, I don't know what you're doing over there.
The green one.
It's on
the left-hand side. There you go. I switched the hotkeys on James a little bit, so I had to explain where that one was.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
It's time to...
Welcome to the Kitchens Open on WFHR. In spite of all of that, we are here today to talk all things Apple.
Wait. I thought this was a cooking show. Now it's a tech hour? Hey, can we talk about video games next week? Ooh. I've been dying to talk about the best game to come out since Doom. It's called Dead Link, and it's Cyberpunk meets Doom and the same fluid movement, wild kill combos, and fast-paced style. If you remember Doom.
Seth, I meant apples, as in the fruit you eat, you know, the fruit that's in season right now, apples.
Of course. I knew that.
Don't worry, brother. I got your back. We have an article coming up later this week that's all about video games. Ooh. Spoiler alert, some of them are actually good for you.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you, James. Now, I don't think I need to define what an apple is, but since Seth questioned it, an apple is a round, edible fruit produced by an apple tree.
I know what an apple is, Melissa.
Hey. Before we get lost in the orchard here, shouldn't we thank our sponsor?
Thank you again, James.
Why am I the one who always has to keep things on track? That is really weird, you guys.
Okay, we want to thank the Southwood County YMCA for sponsoring our Kitchens Open segment. Yeah. I got to have a tour of the YMCA last week, and wow, it is such a beautiful facility.
It is. Awesome.
I don't want to brag here, but if somebody has got to do a tour of it before it was open, I cannot get over that place. Every time I pass it, it is just remarkable
that
we have that in our own town here. Mm-hmm. And if you have not checked it out anytime soon, get on over there, especially if you haven't been there in period. The Y are some of the greatest people you're going to run into in this town.
Mm-hmm.
They will work with you. If you are looking at your finances and you think you can't afford it, please let them know because they want to work with you. They will make make it happen for you.
They have programs available. And they also have space in their facility that you can rent out, specifically like the kitchen and conference room area, mm-hmm. which I finally got to see, which is where the kids have their kids in the kitchen classes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a fully stocked, isn't beautiful cool? kitchen. Yeah,
yeah.
It's wonderful.
And they got great events like Halloween at the Y coming up at the end of October as well, which is a lot of fun. We did that. I did that with my kids last year, and they had a ball. So, nice. Yeah.
Be sure.
Well, say a little. Yeah, you want to check them out. Sarah Wheeler contacted me last week with the class descriptions for their new program called Forever Well. She is the coordinator for this program for members age 55 and up. They're great workouts and fun group fitness classes like Silver Sneakers and SureFlow.
If you have any questions or would like to get involved, you can call Sarah at 608-673-7247 or just join one of the classes. The September schedule is posted upstairs by the large classroom and is also available at the front desk.
Now, the apples we know today are one of the most common, if not the most common, of fruits. But they're not native to North America.
Really?
I knew that. Hmm. The apple tree originated in Central Asia in the mountains of Kazakhstan. The wild Malus sivirsi. I practiced. I really did. Sivirsi still thrives there. There's many. That's the many times great-grandparent of Malus domestica, or the modern domesticated apple. Recent archaeobotanical and historical evidence shows that the apple has a deep connection with the Silk Road. Very cool. The ancient trade routes in the Tian Shan Mountains prompted the process of exchange that caused the hybridization events, which produced the large, sweet, red fruits we know and love today.
See, that is why I keep you around, Seth. Big Brain here is a font of knowledge.
Show off.
Actually, I just summarized what's written here on phys.org in the article Exploring the History of the Apple from Its Wild Origins by the Max Planck Society.
Well, whatever. It's true that people have been collecting wild apples for more than 10,000 years across Europe and West Asia. Before the 15th century, Britannica.com states there were hundreds of recognized varieties across Europe. When colonists started arriving in North America, they only found crab apples. I believe there's four varieties. Which, if you've ever had the delight of tasting a crab apple, you know they're really too sour to enjoy on their own.
Woo. But by the 16th and 17th century, colonists were bringing apple seeds and saplings with them to plant in their 13 colonies. The tree thrived, and the popularity of the apples spread with the immigrants.
Now, I think we should jump back a bit and talk about the taxonomy of the apple. Did you know they're actually members of the rose family?
Huh. I didn't.
Yes, and I did know that because my father's a botanist. at least he went to school for botany. Anyway, they belong to the Rosaceae family, along with other delicious fruits like pears, plums, peaches, cherries, and raspberries. This article on NationalGeographic.com says that apples have a characteristic known to botanists as extreme heterozygosity. That means an apple tree grown from a seed won't be anything like its parents. Well, that's great for the diversity in apple varieties. It's not great if you were hoping to grow the sweet apple you ate from a seed.
So basically, planting an apple seed is a throw of the dice in what fruit the tree will produce. Mm. Apples like to shuffle their DNA like a deck of cards with every generation. This is mostly a defense against pests, but it makes it difficult to grow a great apple from seeds.
Enter Johnny Appleseed.
Yes, the kind-hearted American folk hero who traveled North America spreading goodwill on apple seeds. Thanks, Disney!
Your sarcasm is well placed, Seth. John Chapman, a.k.a. Johnny Appleseed, did not live the fairy tale life depicted in the Disney tale or children's books. They paint him as a harmless woodsman who roamed the country randomly planting apples and being kind to bugs.
But he was actually a shrewd entrepreneur and a bit of a hustler. There is an interesting article on sciencehistory.org called The Disappearing Spoon Podcast by Sam Keen. It goes into great detail about the life of John Chapman. So John realized the greed of American settlers and used his knowledge of the woods to predict where people would spread next. Then he'd travel to those areas and plant apple seeds in neat rows, creating apple nurseries.
Yep. Then, when the settlers arrived, he would sell them the apple saplings at 6.5 cents each. That doesn't sound like much, but he was getting the seeds for free, and he'd sell them by the thousands, turning a fat profit.
Now, as we said earlier, apple trees grow from seeds very often produce terrible-tasting apples, so why would people buy them?
Well, to make booze, of course.
Yes. Most apples grown in colonial America were far more likely to be turned into cider than eaten as a pie.
Pie.
Yeah, that was on me. Sorry.
sorry. I digress.
Way to go, James.
Now, to be fair, it was far safer to drink cider than water on the frontier. The only safe water to drink was boiled water, and that was time-consuming and impractical. The fermentation that happens when apples are mashed and juiced kills and inhibits the growth of pathogenic microbes. Hmm.
And the cider made then wasn't very alcoholic. Once the juice was pressed out of the apples, they left it in buckets to ferment. The hard cider that resulted would be about half as strong as wine. But farmers learned if you left it outside in the winter, you could create a concentrated version that was much stronger.
The water would freeze into ice while the alcohol remains liquid. The result was called Applejacks and could contain quite the punch, up to 66 proof.
Wow. So if Johnny Appleseed was basically a booze-pushing businessman, you may be wondering how he ended up as a Disney folk hero. Mm-hmm. One word, prohibition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, prohibition is also the reason we view apples as a symbol of wholesome and healthy living today, as well as the reason why we have so many sweet varieties in the produce section of the grocery store.
During Prohibition, apple trees were seen as part of the problem. They provided the fruit that was so easily turned into an evil liquor. Therefore, apple growers had to find another way to make money with apples. The answer was to make them taste good straight off the tree.
Here's where we tell you that all of your life, you've been eating apple clones.
Dun, dun, dun.
Really?
That sounds so sinister, doesn't it?
It does.
Clones, well, apple clones.
The apple clones are taking over. The apple clones are taking over.
The call is coming from inside. Wait, yes, no, that doesn't work. Oh, goodness. Well, it's true. The only way to be sure of the apple you'll get is to graft a twig from a good-tasting apple tree onto another tree. So apple farmers would scour their orchards for good-tasting apples, then graft those branches onto other trees to produce apples with the same DNA and therefore the same great taste.
It almost seems like apples don't want to be made. Like they don't want to
be eaten.
One sad development of this production method is a reduction in diversity. Mm. At the turn of the 20th century, there were close to 15,000 varieties of apples.
Wow.
Now there are only about a dozen that make up the bulk of commercially produced apples.
That also means farmers need to use a lot of pesticides to protect the trees against insect pests and diseases. The lack of diversity allows pests to kill with ease. Once a pest unlocks a way to kill one apple variety, they can sweep through and destroy an entire orchard with ease. Mm.
But that also means that when I buy a Fuji apple, it will taste like the one I bought last week or last year. And that's because they contain the same DNA or are a clone of one specific apple.
Yikes.
Huh. You can see positives and negatives to this.
Yeah, that's true. It's troubling that it really knocks down their natural immunity to pests,
yes.
though. That part was kind of troubling to me. But
And I think that's happening across, you know, with other crops, too.
I think you're right.
How many pesticides they have to put on corn, and we're down to, what, how many varieties of banana?
I think maybe one. It seems that way.
Sold.
It really does, yeah.
Personally, I would rather have roulette with my food than cloned food. Than the idea of this, that every time I grab this apple, it's going to taste the way that I thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
I would almost rather have it the other way around, where some I like, some I don't, some are okay, but at least we have variety. At least these things are growing the way they're supposed to, that they were intended to grow. Instead of the way we wanted them to grow.
Not have to use so many pesticides might be a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing. So,
anytime you hear pesticides, it just feels like,
it's true. Well, that's
a bad taste in your mouth.
This is literally.
yes. Oh, that was so good.
Well, let's stop this silliness and focus on the important topic at hand, please. And by that, I mean apple pie, the most delicious and really the only proper way to use an apple.
Now, I don't think they said an apple when they said an apple a day keeps the doctor away, that they meant pie, Seth.
Oh, I think they did.
Well, however you eat them, it's undeniable that apples are good for you. They contain pectin, which is a type of fiber that may help prevent heart disease.
Mm.
They also contain vitamins A, B1, B2, C, and niacin. And they contain the minerals phosphorus, iron, magnesium, iodine, and potassium.
Apples are also low in sodium, are important for eyesight and help digestion. So now that we have the nutrition facts out of the way, Seth, how do you make apple pie?
Well, first you head down to 9041 State Highway 13 and hit up Misty's Menu to see if Brian baked one.
Nice. Well
done.
That's the best.
Isn't that how everyone does it?
Yes. Yeah,
they are the best pies in the area.
Go to the farmer's market, maybe, in Rapids here on Thursdays and Saturdays.
Yes.
Get a fresh baked pie there, too.
They're all
legit.
In all seriousness, we tease you all the time about loving pie and all that. Do you like to make pie? Do you like to make it as much as eat it?
No, I like to eat it.
Yeah.
I'm not making pies. I'm just going to eat it, man.
I didn't think so, but I was curious if you'd ever actually done it or not. Yeah.
No, actually, that's a good question. No. But I do know a little bit about it. So the most important thing to remember when making pie is to choose your apple variety carefully. Mm. You want a tart apple. Let me repeat that. You want a tart apple that's very firm so it doesn't turn into mush when you bake it. Granny Smith are typically the first choice. They're super tart and very firm. Honeycrisp are crisp, like as the name suggests, but are also a sweeter apple. Jonna Gold or Pink Lady and Jeff have a good balance of tart and sweet, but are both firm apples. Just don't choose Macintosh or Red Delicious. Red Delicious, unless you want a mushy pie.
Does anybody like Red Delicious apples anymore?
Is that the worst name ever? I think
really
that's where they get it. People would eat it. Because otherwise, they're flavorless and mushy.
They really
are. They're not. They're red delicious. I mean, the color's right, I feel but like, that's it.
Yeah.
If you wanted to make the argument for having more varieties of apples and all these other things, just bring up a red delicious. Yeah. Just pop that one right on the table.
If we need to get rid of one, I think that one could go first.
Yes. Yeah. No love there. No love there at all. None.
Okay. Back to the pie.
Okay. Yeah, if you want a detailed description on how to make pie crust, I suggest you go back and listen to our segment on pie that aired on June 26th.
Ah, yes. Seth's favorite segment of all time. He listened to it over and over.
Well, he did reign supreme during that one.
Hey, it's true. It's pie. It's not my fault. You picked a topic I happen to be passionate and knowledgeable about.
No, that's true.
Yeah, okay. Maybe one of these days she'll choose the topic of pasta that I can take over the segment. Ha, 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 ha. I've only waited a year for that one.
Oh, hey, you're right. It's been almost a year since we started doing this segment. I do believe that next week will be the one-year anniversary of the kitchens open.
Pasta. Pasta. Pasta.
We're losing focus, people. We're talking about pie right now.
Okay, Motown PC Toft, we'll talk about pie if that's what makes you happy.
That's right, and thank you for using the anagram of my proper title. I appreciate that you have respect for the position I hold on the Pie Council.
Sure thing, Matt Poop Down.
Hey, that's not fair. What are you talking about?
Don't get started, you two. You're worse than toddlers squabbling over a toy. Seth, please tell us about apple pie.
No.
I win. Besides, there's lots of delicious desserts you can use apples in besides pie, like apple crisp or apple cobbler, apple bread pudding, apple tart with almond cream, or my mom's favorite, apple cake.
I disagree that any of those are better than apple pie, but I'll listen to your mom's recipe because mom's recipes are the best.
Aw, thank you, Seth. And I'm sorry for teasing you.
I forgive you. But please take note, I'm only listening to your cake recipe because it was your mom's.
Oh, I'm glad you two made up. I didn't have to knock your heads together like the other time. The distance may have made the difficulty today, but I would have pulled it off.
Well, this cake recipe is delicious. And I believe it came down to my mom through my grandma because of how the recipe is written. It calls for you first to cream 2 cups of sugar with 1 1/2 cups of liquid shortening.
Liquid shortening? So oil?
Mm. Or melted lard? Mm. My mom most likely used melted butter.
Lard is an important ingredient in pie crust.
I know it's hard, Seth, but we're talking about cake right now.
No.
That's right. Shush. Now, you add 2 eggs, one at a time, and 2 teaspoons of vanilla to your cream mixture. And in a separate bowl, sift together 3 cups of flour, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of ground cloves, and 1 teaspoon of cinnamon. You mix the dry ingredients to the creamed mixture, and then add 5 cups of diced apples and 1 cup of nuts. Once you've mixed that, you put it in a 9x13 pan and add the topping made from brown sugar, flour, cinnamon, melted butter, and chopped nuts. Bake it at 325 for 55 to 60 minutes, and it's delicious.
Oh, I'd be willing to try it.
Yes.
I do like apples enough to do that.
I would try that.
Is the perfect time of year for apple crisp, which is always if you can't get pie, it's a good substitute. It's close enough. You know, it's got crust on it and stuff.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
That sounds really good.
Oatmeal's good for you.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Apple oatmeal. Yeah. Not bad. Mm-hmm. Not bad.
Good stuff, Melissa.
Yep.
All right. Well, it's time to wrap this up. We want to thank the Southwood County YMCA for sponsoring our show.
You can call to find out more about their Forever Well program going on right now. Contact Sarah Wheeler at 608-673-7247. That's 608-673-7247 to find out about the classes going on through the end of September.
Or just visit the Y. They're located at 601 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. You can call to find out more information about their classes, memberships, nutrition programs, personal training, or anything else they have going on. That number is 715-818-9622. That's 715-818-9622.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Oh, very good. Great one. That was a lot of fun, Melissa. Nice work. Nice work.
Pie.
Thank you to Melissa and our friends over at the Southwood County YMCA. Be sure to find out more at their website. Just go on over to swcymca.org, swcymca.org.
Cool.
Stick around, everybody. We're going to have Ashley Hagnow, Allison Dairyland's own, joining us in just a few right here on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Tell me something good.
Ground 1320 AM.
AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Are you looking for help with nutrition? WFHR's current sponsor for the Kitchens Open segment, the Southwood County YMCA, has a variety of options. Sign up for their 5-week Prevent and Thrive with Diabetes class that starts October 18th. Lunch and learn the last Wednesday of the month and watch delicious, healthy meals being prepared that you then get to eat. Visit their website, swcymca.org, to see the full list of classes and register, or call 715-818-9266.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's art artists supporting artists, in their own words.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with scattered thunderstorms likely. High temperatures reach up to 68. Southeasterly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies, tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely, lows level off around 56. Cloudy, tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely, daytime highs approaching 67. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 62.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. We are looking forward to being joined by Ashley Hagenow, Allison Dairyland's own, in just a few. Let's go ahead and see what our callers got in their mind. Good morning. You're on the show. Hello.
They're gone.
They're gone. All right. That's all right. they were calling. And we finally
put them on.
All right. That's fine. Let's get into a little bit of entertainment news before Ashley joins us. And, of course, the big story, if you had not heard, the Writers Guild and studios reached a tentative deal, potentially ending a months-long strike that ground Hollywood to a halt. Mm-hmm. This is not set in stone.
Mm-mm.
Okay, you're Mm-mm. going to see a lot of, I was up until 2 in the morning last night talking with some of the people out in California, and they were warning me of this, and sure enough, this is exactly what happened. Because the writers aren't working, especially headline workers, people that create headlines, you're going to be seeing some misleading stuff out there right now.
They want to say it's over.
Exactly. And yep. This is coming from the major news outlets, your CNNs, mm-hmm. your Foxes, all of them, because they have a dog in this race.
Mm-hmm.
They have something in this.
They do.
But all that being said, I think that what your average listener out there cares about is going to happen. This is good. This strike is going to be over. Everybody's going to go to their corner and do their job again, and life will move on until the next one of these things comes up in about 5 or 10 years.
Yep.
Which it'll be about 5 or 10 years when this contract ends up and we're back in this situation again.
Sure.
But as that is... That being said, I am very thankful that this is almost over. I have a lot of people, a lot of friends in this industry that are not big names, that are just people that love to make a paycheck for doing what they love to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of a lot of the writers that I know in New York that work on a lot of the shows that you love out there and are not making a lot of money. And they don't want to make a lot of money. They just want to make a living they can live on.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yep.
Unlike the owners of Netflix and Apple and all of these companies that just, I need a new yacht. I need more, more, more. I can never have enough. These are people that are just trying to get by. So
yep.
It does look like it is going to come to an end. We won't be able to get into details, and I certainly can't get into details. I've been walking the dancing and on a razor's edge this whole strike.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually been warned that I could lose my SAG card.
Mm-hmm.
I do a job that I gotta be real.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot lie to you guys. You guys would eat me alive if I did.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest. So if it costs me, it costs me. But I stand on things I have said, and I stand on talking about this subject,
yep.
Especially given the fact that if we are just leaving it to the media outlets, Not only would everybody hate us, but nobody's coming back.
Yeah.
Like, they were talking about people that would break the break, you know, cross the picket line, that kind of
thing.
Scabs and all that. Yeah. It's not just them you got to worry. It's not just, the people that are coming back, the actors and the writers and stuff, because there's a lot of writers, I know two in particular, that are not coming back to this field. They're making more money working in advertising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A good friend of mine is writing commercials right now instead of, when this strike ends, working on one of the more popular TV shows in this country. I cannot say which one because, again, part of the strike. But, yeah, it's crazy to me what's happening here with this. Mm-hmm. Do you want a world without writers? Do you? Because
I don't.
I mean, all you got to do is look at some bad writers to tell you how
important good writers are, right? Yeah.
So we'll see how this develops. We know who is going to be headlining the Super Bowl finally, and it is going to be Usher.
Usher.
How many had that one on their bingo card?
Nope.
I did not have that.
That's interesting.
Quote from him, "It's an honor of a lifetime to finally check a Super Bowl performance off my bucket list. I can't wait to bring the world a show unlike anything else they've seen from me before."
I want to know how many people they asked before.
Yep. Way down the line. It's nothing against Usher. It's,
no.
It's not. I mean, he's talented as all get out. Mm-hmm. It's more about when was his last hit.
It's been a while. Big names.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, just it's more about that.
Yeah.
We are going to take we're going to push Melissa's news back just a couple of minutes because we don't get the chance every day to talk to Allison Dairyland. So we're going to do that right now. We have Allison Dairyland's own Ashley Hagnow joining us. Ashley, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having me on the air.
Oh, we appreciate you joining us, Ash. Thanks so much for the time. Ashley, real quick before we dive into staying safe on Wisconsin's roadways this harvest season, how have you been enjoying being our 76th Allison Dairyland?
I have loved every moment so far serving as Wisconsin's 76th Allison Dairyland. As I've been reflecting on my first few weeks and months on the job, what I love sharing is that every day I'm learning something new, and every day is truly a new experience. Some of the highlights and events that have happened so far include the Wisconsin Farm Technology Days that took place back in July in Sauk County. I also attended the 2023 Wisconsin State Fair for the full 11 days. We had a few fun events with international guests, welcoming them to Wisconsin and showcasing what makes Wisconsin food and Wisconsin agriculture so special. And now that school is back in session, I am so honored to get into classrooms, especially for fourth and fifth grade students, talking about Wisconsin agriculture and Wisconsin specialty crops. Like I said, every day is something new, and I love traveling the state of Wisconsin, promoting our state's agricultural industry.
You are good at this, Ashley. You are very good at this. It's so good to talk to you. Ashley,
you're so sweet. Thank you.
Why is September an important time to remind ourselves about rail and farm safety?
September marks the return to school, as we talked about. So there are more students getting back on the roads with school buses, and we also have farmers returning back into the fields for harvest, which means much more time around behind the wheel for a few different groups here in Wisconsin. Rail Safety Week also is in conjunction with National Farm Safety and Health Week. So we officially recognized Rail Safety Week and National Farm Safety and Health Week last week in the third week of September, but both of these weeks are honored each year to remind all of us to stay safe on Wisconsin roadways or at railroad crossings as we are traveling across the state of Wisconsin. Both of these events are designed to raise public awareness and engage communities in safe rail practices, as well as safety precautions when on Wisconsin roadways or when on Wisconsin farms.
Hmm. They got a great message this year, don't they, Ashley?
Yes, National Farm Safety and Health Week, as we talked about being celebrated last week, had a really important message this year of no one can take your place. And this is with the goal to reflect on safety precautions for farm workers as well as rural residents, especially during the busy harvest season.
Now, why are rail and farm safety in Wisconsin and across the country important to all of us?
Great question. Rail safety is important because each year in Wisconsin, unfortunately, many people are injured or even killed in preventable crossing and trespassing incidents. In fact, data shows that every 3 hours, a vehicle or pedestrian is hit by a train in the United States. And additionally, thousands of farm workers, family members, and farmers are injured or unfortunately die in farming accidents every year. Agriculture is considered one of the most hazardous industries to work in, and safety training gives us the awareness and information we need to reduce some of those safety hazards.
When it comes to additional or other things that incidents can be prevented from this?
Some of those incidents that we have talked about this morning can be prevented by giving plenty of space on Wisconsin roadways between ourselves and especially those larger pieces of farm equipment that we will start to see on Wisconsin roads. It's also important to take enough time at railroad crossings to inspect for oncoming trains. Be sure to look both ways and yield to those signs at railroad crossings. And of course, yielding to larger pieces of farm equipment on Wisconsin roads and trains when at those railroad crossings. Railroads and agriculture do go hand in hand, as more than 60,000 carloads of food and agricultural products are transported via railways every week. So it's really important to keep these safety tips in mind, both in regards to rail safety and farm safety.
And I don't think a lot of people would put these two worlds together right off the top of their head, especially if you're not familiar with either one. So it's a really good topic idea, Ashley. Nice idea. Where can we find more information about these things?
For the topic of rail safety, I would encourage everyone to visit the Wisconsin Operation Lifesaver website to learn more about rail safety education and to access more informative resources, some of those safety tips on the topic of safe rail practices, in addition to promoting key rail safety messages. And on the topic of farm safety and health, there are many great online resources to stay informed on these topics, including the National Education Center for Agricultural Safety, that is NECAS for short, which provides information about rescue programs, safety trainings, and farm first aid kits, to name a few of those topics that those online resources touch on.
Some really good information today, Ashley. Thank you so much for that. There's a lot of additional information that Ashley sent over, like there are over 4,000 public railroad crossings in Wisconsin.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
That was an interesting stat right there, Ashley. We got time for maybe one or two other stats if you had any that stood out to you.
Certainly. Speaking to some of that additional information that I shared originally, is one thing to keep in mind, trains cannot stop very quickly. Mm-hmm. So if you are at a railroad crossing at any time of the year, the average freight train weighs approximately 6,000 tons, oftentimes with some of those food and agricultural products, and they run at 55 miles per hour. So if they're running that fast, it takes at least a mile for them to stop. There's a figure that I shared that's approximately 18 football fields is the time it takes for a freight train to fully stop. So in talking about yielding to those trains at railroad crossings, it's especially important as those trains cannot stop very quickly. Mm-hmm. And on the topic of fall harvest and staying safe on roadways and on farms this harvest season and really all times of the year, 2021 data from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics indicates that the agricultural sector is still one of the most dangerous in America to work with, resulting in approximately 450 fatalities in the year 2021. So it's really important to keep these safety tips in mind for being on Wisconsin farms, being on Wisconsin roadways, especially if you are a farmer or farm worker or a family member living on one of Wisconsin's family-owned farms.
Ashley, we really appreciate the time, and not just with us, but the time and everything you're putting into the whole state.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you so much for what you're doing. We appreciate you so much. We're giving you a shirt, Ashley. We've got new shirts around here. Yeah, we got some new shirts around here. So the next time, when you get a chance and you stop by the studio here to join us the next time, we'll get you one of these new shirts of ours, okay?
Sounds great. And I look forward to hopefully seeing you later this year for a few upcoming campaigns in the studio. But thank you for the chance to talk this morning about these important topics of rail safety and staying safe on farms.
Oh, yeah. Our door is always open for you, Ashley. You be safe out there. Enjoy. And we'll talk real soon.
Yes. Thank you again. And have a great day and rest of your week.
You too. Thank you.
Big thanks to Ashley there for joining us. That was fun.
Yeah, that was great.
Let's get to Melissa's news, and we'll be back with more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. A Stevens Point man is sentenced to 25 years in prison for causing the death of his girlfriend's six-month-old baby in 2020. Meyer P. Wilcomb, age 36, was convicted in June after an eight-day jury trial of first-degree reckless homicide. The baby boy died as a result of a shaken impact injury. Portage County Circuit Court Judge Patricia Baker sentenced Wilcomb to 15 years of initial confinement and 10 years of extended supervision. Wilcomb's attorneys still claimed he was innocent at the sentencing hearing, but Judge Baker disagreed. She said the evidence was overwhelming and the jury got it right. Organic Valley farmers turned Rockefeller Center into a dairy farm experience as part of Climate Week NYC. Joanne Krulatz reports.
Organic Valley is the largest farmer-owned organic cooperative in the U.S. and one of the world's largest organic consumer brands. It represents nearly 1,800 farmers in 34 states, and Cuba City, Wisconsin farmer Josh Tranel is one of them. Organic Valley is highlighting the importance of the U.S. food system and the need to protect small organic family farms that help reverse the effects of climate change.
I'm here today in the middle of New York City, bringing our small family farms to the big city. We're here spreading our new message of protecting where your food comes from. We're a cooperative of 1,400 dairy farmers and 200 or 300 other farmers, egg farmers, crop farmers. And we're here telling our story, spreading our message of protecting where your food comes from and the acreage that it is all grown on.
The U.S. is losing 100,000 family farms each decade, and this summer, the country faced record-high temperatures, leading to an uncertain future for U.S. food system resiliency. Organic family farms average the lowest known carbon footprint of any U.S. dairy supply. For Civic Media News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Most employees at Century and Stevens Point will continue to work from home this week. News 7 reports a threatening message was found in the bathroom at the Century Home office on Wednesday last week. Out of an abundance of caution, they secured all buildings and employees worked from home. The investigation is continuing, and most associates will work remotely this week or until the investigation is closed. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News on WFHR and WIRI, your locally grown radio stations.
Hi friends, it's Stephen Hittner
and Katrina Hittner from Family Natural Foods. We'll be having our 77th Customer Appreciation Sale going on Friday, October 6th, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, October 7th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Friday, Martin from Natural Factors will be in, along with Tom Heck with Terry Naturally, answering any questions you may have. Then on Saturday, we'll have Jersey Valley cheese and allied elderberry immune samples.
We'll have all sorts of sales and fun in store for you. 20% off of supplements, 20% off of CBD products, plus 20% off of all essential oils and cosmetics. Please note that all these sales are limited to in-stock items.
And while you're walking around at Family Natural Foods, don't forget to sign up for some awesome door prizes and receive a free gift with your purchase. Please join us Friday, October 6th and Saturday, October 7th at Family Natural Foods for our 77th Customer Appreciation Day sale, located at 910 West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
We look forward to celebrating with you.
To everyone who believes family is what mealtime is all about, let our guest Emmy share what she loves about Culver's.
From the moment my family walked in, we knew Culver's was the place for us. There's just something nice about a cook-to-order butter burger and creamy fresh frozen custard that tastes like it was made just for you. But time with family, now that's what's really special.
Stop in and experience what mealtime means at Culver's.
From Wisconsin with love,
welcome to Delicious.
Culver's, 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Let's face it, we're all on the go. Go to work, school, sports, appointments, family gatherings, you name it. Get on the road hassle-free with A Street Auto. With a wide range of inventory, financing options, and excellent customer service, you'll be on the go in no time. Their friendly and knowledgeable staff is ready to help you find a car you deserve, priced to fit your budget. Shop their virtual showroom at 8thStreetAuto.com. Then stop by for a test drive.
Go, go, go to 8th Street Auto.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to get high-speed internet now. 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with scattered thunderstorms likely. High temperatures reach up to 68. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies, tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely, lows level off around 56. Cloudy, tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely, daytime highs approaching 67. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 62.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It's going to be a hot one this weekend. It's not going to be that so much right
not
now.
Not today.
Not
that,
today, Mr.
That was smooth. James.
Nice.
So smooth.
Well played. It is time to get into some news and notes here a little bit. More stuff we have. But I did want to real quickly mention a big thank you again to Ashley Hagnow for joining us, Alice in Dairyland Zone. Find out more at aliceindairyland.com. That's aliceindairyland.com. Be sure to find out more about Alice there.
Yeah.
And before we get into our main topic for this segment, I did have just a couple of quick notes. So I was talking the other day or earlier about who might play Richard Simmons in this biopic.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pauly Shore.
Huh?
Pauly Shore is trying to drum up interest in a Richard Simmons biopic starring, well, him. In an Instagram post, he talked about this. He tagged, he's been playing phone tag with Richard in an effort to make it happen, and he's asking fans to hit up all the big producers like Amazon, Disney, and HBO. We're seeing how this is. Now, unfortunately, TMZ heard from someone close to Richard that he is not interested and is not against Pauly Shore. It's more so that Richard Simmons does not want a biopic about him.
Mm-hmm.
If he did, it probably would have already happened.
Very true. Very true, yeah.
But I will say that, for one, Pauly Shore is not a bad actor. I know that he gets all of us that grew up with him in the 90s and everything look at him that way because he was playing a character.
Yeah.
Right.
Ridiculous
characters
yeah.
were ridiculous.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, Pauly Shore's mom was for decades ran the Comedy Store
in LA,
which is the mecca of comedy. Mm-hmm. Think of what Madison Square Garden is to athletes and musicians. The Comedy Store basically is to comedians.
Yep.
That is coming from comedians, not me. That is coming to all the stand-up comics I grew up with out in California and hung out with out there and everything. Like, that's the mecca. And so Pauly Shore grew up seeing any good comedian you can think of right now off the top of your head, from Richard Pryor to George Carlin to comedians.
80s and the 90s, yeah, right.
He grew up watching them, taking them in and everything. So Pauly Shore is a lot better than I think most people get. It's unfortunate that he's kind of like, that's all he's going to be really known for, probably, at least as of right now. So it's interesting. We'll see how that develops.
Yeah. I can see why he would, because there's a resemblance there. There is a physical resemblance, at least facially, between the two. So, yeah.
Well, and the picture he's been putting up on Twitter, showing them in kind of a similar pose. They do look alike.
I kind of doubt it's going to happen, though.
Yeah. We did have to touch on this. It's very important because every Monday there is a new podcast podcast released on What the Muppet.
What?
This wonderful podcast that Bria Krieger does. She does an amazing job with this. Works with some weirdo. And
some co-host guy,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and this one for today is a special one. It is by far my favorite we have done so
far.
Oh,
wow.
It is episode 9, Born into Weirdness.
That, of course, would be your favorite.
That is a good indication of what's going to be on there, I think, yeah.
Be sure to check that out. Big shout-out to Bree. Nice work on this one. As always, Bria, we've got a little contest we're doing, too, that with this one that we're having fun with as well. So be sure to go wherever you get your podcasts. Just type in your search bar, What the Muppet, and like the podcast, download it. You can find us on YouTube as well. Just type in your search bar, What the Muppet, and subscribe to the page. Thank you so much to all the people that have already been jumping on this.
Yeah, no kidding.
We are blown away by the people that have been following along.
Awesome.
It's been so much fun. When we come back, we're going to get into one That Ain't Right story and some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But...
riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full-face helmets.
Check!
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Scattered thunderstorms likely this afternoon, otherwise cloudy. High of 68, southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies, tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely, lows level off around 56. Scattered thunderstorms again, tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 67, cloudy skies expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 62.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Still holds up. It's one of those songs, just holds
up.
It's
an eternal guitar riff right there.
We hope you're having a great start to your Monday out there. Thanks so much for joining Melissa, Seth, and I for it. We appreciate you. We got that ain't right story that we might have time for, but I want to get into this one, and I wanted to make sure we made time for it today. I think it's worth it.
Okay.
Every generation has their fair share of, like, slang terms. Cool, uncool, desperately trying to be cool, all that.
Of course.
There's a new study out on the most and least popular slang for all age groups. And it includes the most used slang words.
Ah, okay.
So let's see how this goes, okay? And if we don't get a chance to take your calls today, feel free to call up tomorrow and join us for that conversation. We'll continue it. For boomers, the number one is bummer.
Bummer.
Followed by mellow and wannabe. So those are the most...
Have you ever been mellow?
The most and least popular. Those are the most and least popular.
Okay, interesting. All right.
So... for Gen Z, it's chill, followed by lame and bummer.
Wait, bummer. Oh, that's funny.
Bummer makes a reoccurrence.
That's funny.
So these are the most that used. These are the most used.
Okay, all right.
For millennials, the number one is OMG, followed by chill and lame.
I'm seeing a couple of recurring
repeats
ones here.
Repeats there.
Yeah.
For Gen Z, it's selfie, followed by OMG and ghosted.
Those are a little bit different. Boy, very social media centric, too. Yeah.
So those are all the most popular ones.
Okay.
Lame and bummer, I guess, as I do. I don't use the word chill often, though. I don't know if much in my life.
No, I've used bummer. I've used lame. Yeah, for sure.
I've definitely used lame a lot. I did not realize what a trope that is to go to for me. Lame. I did not realize that. That is.
I use it kind of tongue-in-cheek a little bit.
Ah, that's nice.
Okay, now how about the ones we want to go away?
Okay.
Done with these. For boomers, the most hated slang word is woke. Let's see. That boomers also want to get want to ditch the terms Gucci and sheesh.
Sheesh?
Sheesh.
What's wrong with sheesh?
Sheesh.
That's more like a sound than a word. Really awake,
yeah. And everybody uses that one.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. Sheesh. Hiya.
For, nice. For Gen X, they want to cancel thirsty, clapback, and slay.
Thirsty?
Yeah.
Thirsty?
Thirsty, I feel like, is already gone.
I missed that one.
I missed kind of all of those.
Yeah. I hear a lot of people, or at least I had heard a lot of people use slay. Yeah, I'm good with that one going away.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
That one's never really worked for me.
I've always wanted to go on a sleigh ride.
Yeah, me too. Me too, Melissa. I've always wanted to.
That's using correct context, though. That's not a slang term.
Doesn't it seem fun to be on a sleigh ride? Like, I have no idea if it actually is or not.
It's probably cold.
Have neither of you been on sleigh rides before?
Yeah, never. Never. I've never been on
one. Really? I've been on, like, dozens. Oh, my gosh.
We got to do
it. And I don't even like winter.
What kind of life are you living, Seth?
I was a kid.
He was way up in the. He was in the like really
northern Minnesota. I mean, come on.
Every neighbor has a sleigh in their barn.
Well, and the only way you could get anywhere was by sleigh, right?
Guys, my gosh.
We're not really living, man.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't saying that as a negative.
Big words from someone from Toma.
Oh, it's on now, bro.
Now it is on. So for Gen X, they want wants to revive Right On, Groovy, and Epic. Nobody, they do not want that. No.
So they don't want all the baby boomer ones.
Yes.
Right On. I love Right On.
See, that's love you. I use that every day. Every day I use that
I use
one.
Groovy very ironically, but I still enjoy it.
I still use it, too.
Yeah.
I've never used Epic. I've never used Epic. No.
My children, they use it a lot. Yeah.
Other than naming a Faith No More album, that's the only time. Millennials want to bring back Cool Cat, Cowabunga, and Talk to the Hand. Dear God, no.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Cowabunga, dude.
That one I like. Cowabunga.
That one can come back.
Cowabunga is fine. I got no problem with that one. Cool Cat, I don't ever remember somebody in my life, not even on like TV or something, saying Cool Cat.
Real Cool Cat.
It's like a jazz term, isn't that, it?
Yeah, it seems like it. Back then I did, but as far as
jazz
I've never
era.
Heard of, I've never heard a millennial say Cool
no,
Cat.
No, me neither. It's weird.
And Talk to the Hand, for the love of God, no.
Oh, come on. It's very common in the 90s for sure.
Oh, good Lord.
And Gen Z, YOLO, Rad, and Wazza.
I never got YOLO.
No,
I never figured that one out.
I never got that one. But the
Rad.
I think for certain people, the whole Wazza has never gone away.
No. Like,
there's certain people that...
You're right.
Every time, every greeting.
I think that we all have that one friend that is still doing that. That is still doing it, and unironically. Like, they think it is still just... It is just still so funny. I almost said it still slays. I almost said it. It's because it got in my head. I've never
said
that.
Well, as long as you don't run into that person more than 3 times a year, it's probably okay.
It might be all right.
I'm telling you, it's just another reason to hate Budweiser.
We take a look at our That Ain't Right story of the day. And it's not so much a That Ain't Right story. It's just a chance to bring attention to this. For those that did not hear, we have flamingos in Wisconsin.
That's crazy.
It's awesome.
That's weird.
It's crazy.
It's very strange.
Interesting times.
Mm-hmm.
Flamingos flock to Port Washington Beach. A young person had said, or another person, one of the people seeing this said, I had tears in my eyes seeing it. Quite an interesting moment.
Wow, and an interesting place, too.
Yeah.
Up in Door County. That's really weird, but yeah.
Quite interesting. Encourage you to look into that if you have not already. I did want to also touch on this. I thought it was pretty interesting. Beyonce came through big for a disabled fan who couldn't make it to one of her shows. 34-year-old John Hetherton had tickets to see Beyonce in Seattle, but he suffers from cerebral palsy, and he uses a wheelchair. And when he tried to board a flight from Oregon, they said the chair was too big to be loaded on the plane.
Aww.
They couldn't make alternative accommodations for John, so he just missed the show. He vented his frustrations on TikTok, and the video got to Beyonce, who invited him to her Houston show and paid for everything.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
I mean everything. John also got to meet her personally. I believe he had a flight that was like him and his family, and that was it.
Wow. That's amazing.
And this was all Queen Bee's doing. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't her publicist that called the airlines and did these things. It wasn't her publicist that set this stuff up and all that. It was literally her that got this whole thing going.
Wow.
And she contacted him to the point where her name came up on his caller ID.
Mind blown right there. Wait, no way. No way.
That's got to be spam.
Yeah, no, there's no way. No way. No way. But I got to answer it.
That is pretty darn cool.
That's great.
You talk about above and beyond. That's amazing. That is pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned earlier today, it would have been Shel Silverstein's birthday. Mm-hmm. And as I like to do when I have the chance, I would like to wrap up with one of his poems from today. And I think a great way to take on the day, and especially it being Yom Kippur, I think this is very fitting. Listen to the mustn'ts, child. Listen to the don'ts. Listen to the shouldn'ts, the impossibles, the won'ts. Listen to the never haves. Then listen close to me. Anything can happen, child. Anything can be. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much to the best teammates in radio history, Seth and Melissa. Thank you both so much for joining us. And thank you to Ashley Hagnow for joining us. That was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Our good friend, Paul Trombley. Melissa, how do you feel about doing this tomorrow?
Sure.
All right. Thank you. Good team player right
there. Contractually obligated.
I'll show up.
We'll have more.